broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This is the broadcast for March 18th in the year of our Lord, 2019. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide, and absolutely we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the great peaceful restorative solutions we have at our fingertips. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live. As you know, we're a six-day-a-week broadcast, Monday through Saturday. On the Sabbath, we rest, but otherwise, it's hard-hitting news, 2 hours a day, 6 days a week, online, live and on-demand, free at libertyroundtable.com. But if you have the heart to help, please donate today. On Saturday, we did a recap of the previous week. We call it the news the networks refuse to use, Liberty Roundtable Live Week in Review. Second hour on Saturday, we had our guest on, Mr. Kevin Blake. He's the state director for the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association, CSPOA.org. We also, believe it or not, had his 11-year-old nephew on by the name of Jackson Blake. And he's age 11. He's a conservative in the making, if you will. And he thinks Democrats are criminals, and he's ready to learn. That was actually a great broadcast. You know, we like to have the kids on the radio because it shows the younger generation interested in preserving the greatest country on the face of the earth. We talked about President Donald Trump vetoed a congressional attempt to keep him from obtaining funding for the border wall. This is interesting. He says the reckless resolution would endanger Americans. Congress has the freedom to pass this resolution, but I have the duty to veto it, says the president. We talked about Representative Ocasio-Cortez. People should be excited about losing their jobs to automation. Is she off her rocker? Yes, but there you go. We also talked about Blockbuster out of 9,000 stores. I guess the chain has closed 8,999 stores. How does that work, you might ask? Well, there's one Blockbuster left, ladies and gentlemen, one store. It's in Bend, Oregon. It makes it one of a kind. That's for sure. Wow. We talked about Whole Foods cuts workers' hours after Amazon introduces minimum wage. So again, you got to just kind of figure out there's only so many resources, folks. And the only question left is how will they be allocated? When the government manipulates, sadly, people respond in real ways. Don't forget that. I guess too scared to have children, they say. Women go on birth strike, writes Joe Kovacs. This is an interesting thing. Women are literally scared to have children. They've heard so much from the mainstream press, so much from politicians that, you know what, Chicken Little's here. The sky is falling. It's the end of the world if we don't just quit having babies and if we just, continue living our lives. And, it's just crazy, folks. I trust God, and I don't think we should be afraid to have children. I think we should have our children keep God's laws. I think we got to reach out and bear one another's burdens. I mean, there's so much good we could do, folks. Wow. We talked about Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez a little more. I guess she gave her response to the mass shootings that took place in New Zealand. She said, "What good are your thoughts and prayers?" What a sad viewpoint, huh? Donald Trump, on the other hand, God bless all victims of the New Zealand massacres. Well, I, again, agree with Donald Trump, and I think we got to turn to our God. And Ocasio-Cortez, the poor woman's lost. Wow. We also talked about a framed photo of the Lord's Prayer stops bullet that was fired into home. That's ironic in a good way, right? Wow. Anyway, thought would bring that all to your attention. That's a recap of the broadcast that took place on Saturday. It's still available online at libertyroundtable.com. Without further ado, our guest, Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org. Welcome back to Liberty Roundtable Live, sir.
Well, thank you. Good to be with you, gentlemen. It's always good to be with you.
All right. Let's talk about, you got a bunch of subjects today. Let's talk about private schools for a second. This is a great, great opportunity, in my opinion. You have the chance to teach activism to the students at American Heritage School in Utah. Now, people should know this is the one we run commercials for. This is the one that my children go to. And Lowell had the opportunity to go speak to them, huh, Lowell?
I sure did, Sam. And I don't know whether activism is the right word. Some people think that's a scary word. Basically, we were just talking about how to be more involved in civic affairs.
And by the way, I don't know if that's activism or if that's just your, you know, responsibility as a free person, right?
Right. That's my definition of the word. And so I realized that after saying it, that, you know, some people may not like that word.
Yeah, but I'm not sure how you articulate it in a single headline either, right?
Exactly. Well, there's a wonderful teacher there. And by the way, you know, our family, our three daughters went there. We've been patrons of the school for well over, I don't know, 20 years or something when our children were young. And we just love that school. You know, I told the story of how we got going there, and the students were interested. This is a class of students who chose to attend this particular class. They just, you know, all the students this particular week, called Experience Week or something, they get to choose.
It's called Experiential Learning, sir.
Ah, excellent, excellent. And so everybody who was there's about 20, 25 of them there. They wanted to be there, and so they were very interested in the subject. And the teacher, Jeff Hymas, was a marvelous, marvelous man who he's been teaching the Constitution for years, the founding, the heritage of our country, you know, for years. And now he's a teacher at American Heritage School. What a blessing it is for the lives of these students to have people like Jeff Hymas there. Sharing, you know, I just met him last January. I instantly liked him, and so he says, "Hey, you should come talk." So, what did I talk about? Well, what I really talked about was just one or two or maybe three important lessons. Number one was the power of one, and the reason I talked about the power of one is, and I used the example of one of the bills in Utah. Legislature, it sailed through the Senate, got a vote of 24-0. I mean, like, nobody opposed this bill. This was a bill, it was a Senate Bill 83 named Partnerships for Healthy Communities. And, you know, you and I, Sam, know immediately, well, that's an Agenda 21 bill. Anytime they do partner, you know, private-public partnerships, you know that basically it's been authored by the Agenda 21 crowd. And so we looked into this bill, and my friend and fellow health freedom activist, Kristen Chevrier, who's on the alert for any vaccine mandate type bills, she noticed it while she was reviewing pending legislation for threats of vaccine mandates. And when she called me, I think on Monday or Tuesday of last week, and talked about the bill, we agreed that this bill posed the most imminent danger to our health freedom, and we agreed to try to stop it. Well, this is after it passed the Senate 24-0. And there it was in the House, and Kristen wrote an email, I wrote an email, we sent it to our respective lists of people who, you know, health freedom in her case, and you know, just general love for liberty in my case. And that bill in the House died by a vote of 24-47, something like that. And just, it was incredible. It was amazing that we were able to kill that bill. Now, had there been a lot of support for the bill, probably would not have died, but because there wasn't a lot of bill, a lot of legislators really didn't know what was in it, they got all of these texts, all of these emails from people saying, this is a bad bill, don't do it. They voted no. And
this is an example, if we could have got the word out before the Senate, we might have had a similar idea. I think what happens is senators sometimes just get to where, hey, I got so many bills. They passed 500-plus bills. Mm-hmm. I want to say that again. They passed 500-plus bills or new laws and manipulations to laws, et cetera. Many bad, a few good. But I bring this up to say that a lot of times the senators just go, you know, let's not think about it. Let's just sign it. Let's just move on and vote for it. They don't even really know what they're voting yes on. They just don't want to be the dissenter.
And they don't want to disappoint their colleagues. If their colleague stands up and says, this is a good bill, we need to pass this for these following reasons, blah, 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 then everybody says, okay, you know, and most of them don't read all the bills. I mean, that's a fact.
Yeah, and in my personal opinion, to sign a bill you haven't read is criminal. You got to go to jail for
Absolutely. Yeah, no question.
Now, you would say, Sam, that's extreme, isn't it? And my response is, no, that's what happens if you sign something in life. You either go to jail or get in debt or you know, give away the farm. Or what I mean is you're taught never to do that in life, right? The same thing needs to apply here, folks, and the consequences can be dire is the whole point. And when you take on the special responsibility to represent me, you better be paying attention to what you're doing. And if you're not, you're negligent.
Absolutely.
All right. Now, so you can say I'm overstating the issue, but I'm telling you, this is critical. You can't literally represent someone and be paid to represent them and then sell their interests out on that altar when you haven't done your due diligence. I'm just telling you right now, you should lose your pay and you should go to jail if you're caught doing it.
Right. Totally agree, Sam. And I know this is a national show. People all over the country listen to Liberty Roundtable, and they might be wondering why in the world would I want to take any time on this. Well, it's because that, you know, you're probably in a similar situation, and you know, I benefit from the stories that I hear of local good people standing up and doing that with that you know, standing up for something and, you know, stopping a bad piece of legislation or whatever. I benefit from that, and so I tell this story to you know, to provide hope and encouragement to anyone out there listening that it really does matter. I mean, one mom, Kristen Chevrier, one mom just happened to be reading this bill, noticed it in the Senate, and she called me, and we stopped it.
And when nobody was engaged, they slam dunk sold us down the river with, you know, many of them probably didn't even read it. And then when we the people get engaged, good things happen every time. When we come back, we got a whole lot to cover. I'm Sam. We got Kurt with us. We got Lowell Nelson, CampaignForLiberty.org. You're listening to Liberty Roundtable Live.
The runner on third takes a short lead. Elwood glances over. Now back to the plate. He sets the pitch. It's swung on. Strike three. They've won it. They have won it. World champions. Jim, what's it like down on the field?
John, it's a madhouse down here. I'm trying to get to Bob Elwood, the winning pitcher. Bob, how does it feel? Winning the seventh game on a strikeout.
Yeah, I thought he'd be looking for a slider, so I came on with my fastball.
World champions! Is this the greatest moment of your life?
Absolutely not. Jim, the best moments for me are breakfast with the kids. Long walks with my wife, just holding her hand, you know?
Marriage. You're never too far apart when you're still holding hands. From your neighbors, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Jim, when was the last time you held your wife's hand?
Well, it's been a while.
I tell you, you need to step up to the plate, Jim.
For more tips on strengthening your marriage, visit family.mormon.org.
If Planned Parenthood were what they publicly declare themselves to be, they would welcome transparency. We all know why they hide, because we know what they hide. We can confirm federal judges who follow the Constitution rather than reverse engineer their preferred policy outcomes. The truth about abortion is spreading because of advances in medical imaging, because of brave journalists, tireless activists, compassionate doctors, nurses, and other healthcare professionals. The rising generation of young Americans is the most pro-life in decades because they know too. And one day soon, we will reaffirm our nation's principles in their dignified fullness and avow once again that all men are created equal. All are entitled to life.
All right, Lowell Nelson, CampaignForLiberty.org, riding shotgun, ladies and gentlemen. The reason we talk about this, even though you say, well, this is all Utah, Sam, what are you guys talking about? Well, look, it's probably going on similar in your state, where, hey, how many senators are signing bills they probably never even read? How many times does a slam dunk against something or for something that you completely disagree with, and there's been no opposition or no involvement from we the people? And this is an example of what's going on in your state, and when good people from CampaignForLiberty.org and other places get involved and make a difference and take action, you see what happens when people read the bills. And so Oath Keepers and others have these groups that, you know, 100 people get together and say, look, you know what, we all can't handle all the bills, but we can all take 5 or 10 of them, and we can get a handle on what's good, what's bad, what's going on in our state. We want you all to do the same thing at Oath Keepers. I'm writing an article at the same time here. All right. But Campaign for Liberty and others can literally help you organize and do just that. a task that seems so daunting and not even doable. You know what? When you get a few good, solid Patriots together, instantly, you know what? Many people make heavy work light. Instantly, it becomes doable. And this is an example of what happened. They also broke down the whole Utah 45 days of terror legislative session for you, so you can understand what was good, what was bad, what was et cetera, et cetera. Lowell has all the breakdown. Lowell?
Thank you, Sam. Yes, in fact, Utah Grassroots, the organization that scores our legislators here in Utah on the Liberty Index, basically, we'll be meeting later tonight, this evening, to do that very thing. We pick a basket of bills and decide what the liberty answer is for that bill, you know, how legislators should vote, and then we score all 104 legislators against that basket of bills, and then we roll out a score for them. We do it every year, and it becomes one of the most helpful, valuable reports. Basically, it's on the state level what the Freedom Index is, as a New American magazine's Freedom Index is on the national level. And so we find this is a really valuable service. It helps.
Hey, who's our congressman there in the state, Kurt?
In the state of where? You're talking about right here?
Ours. Yes, sir.
Let's see. We've got the new one. No, I guess we didn't have Mia Love, but... our particular congressman was Chaffetz, and now it's Curtis.
Yeah, but I'm talking about locally, state-wise here. So he's telling you there's
okay.
a state
yeah.
organization that keeps track of your Freedom Index on a state
right.
level.
Then it's right? the grassroots people we check with to figure that out, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. You don't know who yours is, Kurt?
No. He beat me, though. I know that.
Yeah. Kurt got beat and just turned his back on the whole thing, ladies and gentlemen.
No, I didn't do that.
Who's mine?
That I
Lowell,
do
who's
everything
yours?
I can.
Yeah, so Brady Brammer is our representative here.
That's right. The BB man.
Yeah, the BB man.
Who's mine?
And, I could look that up. Kay Christopherson, probably. But
84003 is my zip code, and I'm in American Fork, Utah, and...
Yeah.
Anyway, I'd be interested to see who mine is, because I thought mine was somebody different, the point.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'll look it up.
Anyway,
yeah.
you can look that up. But the point is, though, there is a way to know how your people are doing in terms of standing with the supreme law of the land, right?
That's right, and I mention it here because if you don't have one in your state, if you're, I don't know, Alabama, Texas, Oklahoma, I don't care, you know, where you are, if you don't have this type of a service, why don't you consider offering it? Why don't you... You know, you put together a dozen people, liberty-minded folks, and you start ranking them and scoring the bills in your state legislature and scoring your legislators, start publishing your report. I mean, it makes a huge difference for liberty. So I just throw out there as an idea something you can do in your state that would really make a nice difference. So getting back to what the Utah legislature did and didn't do, this is a long, long list. I can't go through everything, but... just several of the worst bills, which I thought, you know, passed. One was the new hate crime law that allows prosecutors to ask, you know, judges for additional sentences, heavier penalties for people who commit crimes who do so with the intent to harm their victims because of their characteristics. You know, like if you hurt a gay person, if you hurt a person of a political, religious affiliation or political belief, if you do that, then for some reason, we're going to hurt you more now. We're going to penalize you more. But basically, it comes down to thought crime, because how can you know what a person's thinking when they commit a crime, right? So you have to prosecute what a person thinks in order to get this additional penalty. It's going to result in higher costs of prosecution. It's going to result in a chilling effect on what a person thinks and says and writes. It's just a really bad bill. And it passed this session. They've been trying for years to get this thing. Daniel Thatcher is the senator who authors it and brings it forward every year. He finally got that through. And I consider that a huge bad bill. This is also a terrible session, Sam, as you know, because they passed the CONCON bill, a resolution asking Congress to call an Article 5 convention. I consider that a huge loss for liberty. And we need to turn that around. We have time. Apparently, not all legislatures have passed this, up to 28, I guess, of the 34 required to pass this kind of a request. We need to turn this around and get this repealed, which means we have to change out members of the legislature who passed this bill. That's a tall order, folks, but we really need to set about doing that if we want to stop this call for a con. So they passed the Medicaid expansion bill, Sam, and the other states that have passed this thing, they turned towards bankruptcy. They actually take a nosedive down the wrong path because it's so expensive.
I mean, let's be clear. So it's flat-out, unabashed, pure, in-your-face, belligerent socialism.
Yeah, yeah. And because of that, as you know, socialism spends the wealth that capitalism creates. And it's going to hurt Utah the very same way it's hurt all these other states that have taken this pathway. We didn't have to do it, folks. And yet, you know, the Utahns voted last November that we wanted socialism. I guess the one thing that legislature did do that was good is they dialed it down, right? I mean, what passed last November, this initiative question that got put on the ballot, It would have cost us, like, I don't know, another $1 billion, and the legislature dialed it back to less than $1 billion cost. So I guess
So some people are saying they like responsible socialism.
It's like the choice between Stalin and Hitler. I mean, what do you do? Who do you choose? You know. So anyway, those are some of the uglier bills. Let me ask you a question about this, Sam. I call this an ugly bill where they passed a bill that allows beer with 4% alcohol to be sold in retail stores. The current level is 3.2%, right? So they said, look, 3.2%, most of the beer manufacturers, they're claiming that they can't make beer with such little alcohol content. Everybody's making 4% alcohol. And that's we're either going to sell that or we aren't going to sell it at all in the state of Utah. And so the legislature caved, and they said, okay, well, we'll allow 4% alcohol content in beers. Now, I'm not for the regulation of what a business sells. And so on one hand, I don't want Utah to be regulating this. But on the other hand, I do realize that communities have the ability to limit what's sold in their stores, right? I mean, your family, Sam, you can decide, okay, there won't be any beer in our house. You can decide that as a family. And so you regulate your own self, you regulate your own family, and you govern in righteousness your own family. But when it comes to a community, you know, there's some who say, well, communities have that right to regulate what they sell and don't sell in their community. But in general, I don't like the idea of government intervention in the marketplace. What's your take on this?
Now, my take is I don't like the government intervention in the marketplace at all. And so I don't want the government to decide it's 3.5% or 3.2% versus 4% alcohol. I think the government needs to step back away from it. But my big take would be this. You know, government receives a bunch of money when alcohol is sold. It's called taxes. And not only do they tax it, you know, which I question in the first place, the taxing of a lot of these things, but they have a special tax, okay? If it comes to staying in a hotel, it's called a lodging tax, or if it's this, then it's an entertainment tax, or, you know, they have all these different words for more abusive government. Well, I have a problem with government getting money from this, and so I think the reason that the legislative bodies caved on this primarily is because, hey, they know if they agree to 4% and it's just like a heyday for alcohol, hey, the government coffers with taxes just get bloated with cash. And so to me, the government seems to be on the dole here. The government seems to be involved in the promotion of immorality. Now, you could say, well, Sam, it's not immoral to drink a beer. No, it's not. But it is immoral, for example, for a government for filthy rich taxes to abuse the citizens harder while families spiral downwards as a result of the tax derived. Okay, so that's where I start to say, you know what, let's get government out of it. I don't care if you sell, you know, 3.2 beer or 4 beer. I'm not selling beer. I'm not having it in my house, and I'm not drinking it. So you're not going to get any advantage from me at all. And I don't want government involved in it at all, and I want government to get out of it and quit having a stake in the prosperity of the promotion of alcohol. When we get back, I want Lowell to respond to my comments on this. It is about liberty, ladies and gentlemen. I'm telling you, prohibition didn't work. Because you violate people's agencies. The best way is to have groups like me who decide we don't like alcohol and we think it's bad for societies to do public service announcements against it, to get government out of it, and let's see how well it prospers on its own. Liberty Roundtable Live.
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens. Pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
New Zealand's Prime Minister says her nation's gun laws may change after last week's attacks on mosques that killed at least 50 people, wounding dozens more. Jacinda Ardern announcing the cabinet has made in-principle decisions already about changes to gun laws. Meanwhile, New Zealand is not accustomed to these types of attacks, and a police official says,
I want to thank the public for their absolutely overwhelming positive support to members of the New Zealand Police and our emergency service and other partners who have committed themselves to this response and this investigation.
Rain and melting snow still swelling the Missouri River out of its banks in Nebraska and Iowa. The river more than 2 feet over its previous record. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
It's amazing but true. When it comes to one of America's biggest household expenditures, health care, a lot of people think they've got no choice. People are used to thinking we have to do it this way, but they don't. Yes, you have the freedom to choose an alternative with your health care. It's MediShare, and it costs way less than the alternatives. The typical family saves $500 a month, not a year, a month. And if you're single, this can save you a lot, too. And let's face it, a big reason MediShare is 400,000 people strong, it just works. They've shared over $3 billion in medical bills, so they can help share your needs, too. Joining MediShare for so many people is one of those things that makes you say, why didn't I do this before? So yes, the time has come for something better. Look into joining MediShare and see why so many people are opting out of the old way and into the new. Why not look into this? Just call 855-90-PSALM. That's 855-90-PSALM. 855-90-PSALM.
U.S. Senate Democrat Kirsten Gillibrand announcing yesterday she's running for the White House in 2020. That makes over a dozen Democrats in the field already, and that comes before former Vice President Joe Biden makes his expected announcement next month. Senator Kamala Harris, who is among those in the field, says she thinks the field is already too crowded with Democrats.
I think we have an embarrassment of riches among the Democrats who are running.
Harris says the American people are wise enough to choose a nominee who speaks their truth, whoever ends up being chosen. Boeing now putting the final touches on upgraded software and revising pilot training for the 737 MAX, an upgrade that's meant to target the aircraft's flight control system after investigators find clear similarities to a deadly crash involving that type of plane in Indonesia last October and Ethiopia last weekend. This is USA Radio News.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, so finishing out my thoughts really quick, then turning it over to Lowell Nelson. So I'm saying that, you know what, in our society in yesteryear, it used to be that the saloon was kind of considered a little bit of the dregs of society. Yes, people understood it, and it was there. But you know what, the most, well, moral of the people just didn't even go into the saloon hardly. You know what? They were part of the community, but a little bit shunned, a little bit, hey, that's where the immoral people go. And that was, pretty much the case. Gambling was like back at the docks and kind of the back, ne'er-do-well part of society. Okay, so people could gamble, sure, the government didn't control it. People could drink, the government didn't really control it. But you know what? It was societally pretty much not accepted. It was looked down upon. It was morally problematic. But the bottom line is, as soon as government gets in the middle of it, derives taxes from it, whatever the government sanctions, people believe is good, honorable, moral, right. I mean, for crying out loud, the government runs liquor stores in the state of Utah. So pretty soon then you take that which society naturally puts where it belongs, and we upend that. And we say now it's prestigious. You drink alcohol in the fine glasses and expensive restaurants and government partners in the crime, and gambling is, well, sanctioned by government, and government takes a big piece of the spoils. And now when we exploit families and destroy fatherhood and motherhood and morality, and it's a front and center backed by the government because the government has a stake. We need to get the government out of it first, Lowell.
I agree with you, Sam. One additional thought about that is that government becomes dependent on the spoils. You know, they're on the take, like you said, they're on the take in these sin with these sin taxes, the sin tax of cigarette smoking, the sin tax on gambling, the sin tax on alcohol. They are on the take, and so they get used to this revenue stream. It's a cash cow, basically. It's a revenue stream, baby. And all this money pouring into the government's coffers, and they get used to it. And so they find it more and more difficult to cut that off because of the revenue stream. They're used to spending all this money. They have all these programs that they got to fund.
Yeah, so my question is, if it's a sin tax and government participates, is the government partner in sin?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so, Sam. I think that's a really important point. I hadn't thought about that. I'm glad that you raised it and explained why it is that government, should not be involved, basically sanctioning and legalizing this type of thing for their own benefit. That's why they're doing it, to get your cash, folks. And it's just anytime government meddles in the marketplace, it usually turns out bad.
Heard that. No doubt about it. All right, anything else in the legislative session that's noteworthy?
Well, we'd better skip along. Well, one good thing, they did not pass a red flag bill that would allow a judge basically to sign an order, ex parte order, basically meaning you don't know anything about it, to come take away your guns. You know, if a family member, that's the essence of red flag law. Somebody, you're a family or a neighbor or somebody says, I think Sam's kind of wacky, kind of weirdo, crazy. He might go off the deep end and hurt somebody, and so they get an order signed by a judge to come take your guns. And you know, that's just absolute lack of due process.
But the good news is they stopped that, right?
They stopped that.
The other good news piece is they passed two pro-life pieces of legislation, right?
Oh yeah, yeah, exactly. They limit abortions to 18 weeks now. So if you're more than 18 weeks pregnant, then any abortion that you would do at that point would be against the law. Or illegal, and I'm not to say nothing about being immoral, but and then the other one was the abortion bill ending the practice of abortion in the case of a Down syndrome diagnosis of the baby. So I view these two were excellent bills. They came through, and they're going to be challenged. At least one of them, I think, is the ACLU is probably going to challenge it. They'll probably sue. But we got to do what's right, regardless of the consequences, right? Is that what we learn in primary?
Amen to that. Right? We got over 500 laws passed, one of the biggest, I don't know what you call it, bill-passing legislative sessions in history, 500-plus new regulations and laws. I don't know how to even gauge this, but what, three-quarters of them bad?
Yeah, probably more than that, Sam.
And the last more than that, and the last tidbit you should know is that they promoted and voted for a con-con, right?
Yes. That was one of the worst things about this session. So disappointing. We put so much into that. You know, I talk about the power of one. We defeated a bill that didn't have anybody behind it, but we were not able to defeat this con-con bill, which had big money behind it. And I feel badly that we weren't able to kill that.
Well, they all got conned. We tried to stop it. There you go. Now, some people say Santa Claus is coming to town, but in this case, we're saying Dennis Prager's coming to town. Well, he already came to town, actually.
That's right. Last Friday night, Sam, he was in Utah County. He was speaking at a Lincoln Day dinner, which is the annual fundraiser for the Utah County Republican Party. Now, a lot of your listeners, Sam, are going to be very amused to learn that I really had no idea who Dennis Prager was or is. And I guess everybody listens to him. He's a really popular talk show.
Well-known, popular, conservative Christian talk show host. He also has Prager University, where he educates and speaks and has training videos and more. Anyway, pretty good guy, but he's a lot, in a way, too Republican for me. But overall, he's a pretty good guy. And compared to most, he's a lot more conservative than most because of his Christian leanings primarily.
Yes, and I found him a delightful speaker. Didn't agree with everything he said, of course, but a delightful speaker and a real candid fellow. I mean, this gentleman, he's about 70 years old, and from what I observed, what I listened to, what I heard, he speaks his mind, doesn't care. He just speaks his mind. Yeah, he's a religious Jew. He said he's not an Orthodox Jew, but he's a religious Jew. And so he says, I really didn't want to be here on a Friday night. I would much rather be with my family because, of course, their Sabbath begins Friday at sundown. And so he says, I'd really prefer to be with my family. But I came to do this talk because I believe we're in a war. And it's okay for Jews to do these kinds of things in a war, in a wartime situation. situation. He says, we're at war with the left. And then he proceeded to talk for 20, 30 minutes about all the damage that the left has done to the American, institution. And one of the funny stories, I have to tell you, Sam.
Before you get to the story, though, he basically teaches you a little bit about the left-right deceptive paradigm in that he says, hey, you know what, conservatives and liberals, you know, all those are terms. It's the left that's your enemy. And I think he almost understands that. He peels back one layer, but he almost falls into the trap in that regard as well, because the right's abusing us as much as the left. The Nazis or the Socialist Party, well, is that right or left? Well, it's so hard right it went left. I don't know. But all I'm telling you is at some point we need to stand on principle and quit using words that change on us, and then we get deceived. So we need to be really careful, and I'm not sure he quite completely gets that.
Right, and that was my apprehension with him as well. You know, Dinesh D'Souza came to mind when Dennis was speaking. I thought, oh my heck, this is Dinesh D'Souza, not as far as Dinesh. I mean, Dinesh, he seems to be blind, entirely blind, to the failings of the Republican Party. I wish he'd do an expose on the Republican Party like he did on the Democrat Party. That's what I wish Dinesh would do. Now, I'm not saying Prager is like Dinesh, but I sort of thought of Dinesh when I heard Prager begin to speak. So that's kind of, I agree that he seems to be just a little blind to this idea that the evil could possibly come from the GOP. In fact, that's one of the things he said. He said the Republican Party is the last best hope for stopping the left. And I said, oh, holy cow, you don't understand the Republican Party like I do. Are you talking about the same thing? Right? I mean, so that's where he came from. But by and large, I think he does a lot of good, Sam. I think there's a lot of wonderful people who listen to him.
There's no doubt. And Prager University, by the way, is incredible. Now, by the way, Dennis Prager is one of the biggest guys taking on YouTube and taking on the abusers for they shut down his videos. Look, they're really after God. And anybody who believes in God, they're after us. Now, they say it's after the conservative or it's after this or that. But the ultimate prize is for them to shut down and turn their backs on God. And Prager stands up as a very solid Judeo-Christian. And as a result, basically, they want to attack him and the values associated with him. And so YouTube has been shutting down a lot of Dennis Prager's videos. He's the only one with the guts to literally sue and push back hard against YouTube.
Cool. I like that. He did mention the 80 videos. He called them restricted, which means you can't watch them unless you're an adult or something. I'm not sure what the deal is. But
yeah, but you can't be learning about God and the Ten Commandments unless you're of age, sir.
That's right. Now, so this story, this is a real gem. And his dad was an Orthodox Jew who went to war in the Pacific Theater for the United States back in World War II, I'm talking. And he ate some bacon. Well, as you know, I mean, he said that's about like a Mormon having wine with his dinner every day, right? I mean, that's a Jew eating bacon is like a Mormon drinking wine with their meals. He ate bacon every morning, but that's justified because it's okay for a Jew to do this kind of a thing in a wartime situation. Apparently. I don't know Jewish law, but that's what he said. And so he said his dad was probably the only serviceman who was disappointed when the war ended. Everyone else was happily thinking, no more war, but his dad was thinking, no more bacon.
Hey, man, I like bacon, too. I get the point anyway. Dennis Prager came to town, did a phenomenal job, a little too Republican for me, but the point's well taken that we're all, those who stand for the principles, are on the same side regardless of any differences.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right. Anything else on Dennis Prager, Lowell?
It was pretty awesome. I enjoyed it, and I actually spent some time at Prager University, you know, the website, the past couple of days, and got better acquainted with Dennis and his ideology, and I find him to be just a delightful gentleman, and I'm glad that a lot of people listen to him. I think he's doing a lot of good in this country, even if he is a little bit blind to the evil that comes from the GOP. I think he's doing some really good work out there, Sam. Yes, he is.
I concur with that. And again, you know, I wish you understood a little bit more about the liberty idea and that the, you know, part of the swamp is the right. Part of the swamp is the insiders in the Republican Party. And some of the Christians that are too hard, Judeo-Christian, too, reject some of the libertarian views, which I support, too. They somehow, for example, a lot of these Christians are fine with going to war, for instance. The libertarians would back away from war, and I'm a little bit more libertarian because I think that's the real Christian view on the issue. But nevertheless, all right, just so you know, what is it? K.J. Christofferson, Republican, House District 56 is mine, just so everybody knows. I don't even know this person. There's no way for me to get in contact with this person, right? You know, how big is a district and how many people does it represent? And you know, how can I get a hold of K. Christofferson, Republican, you know, and get, they don't have time for me. I've reached out to many of them and they just say, we're just too busy for you, Sam. They're either too busy in their home life when it's not the quote 45 days of terror. And when it's the 45 days of terror, they're just way too busy. My senator is Daniel Hemmert or Hemmert. H-E-M-M-E-R-T, Daniel Hemmert. Again, how do I get a hold of these people? That's Senate District 14. So, you know, there you have it. Those are my people. But I don't know any of them. And I think my chance of getting to know any of them is about nil. I knew the last county sheriff we had, but now there's a new county sheriff. And well, I've been trying to get a hold of him, but he's always out of town, always gone. Never doesn't have time for me, buddy. And so I just feel like I'm flat out disenfranchised, Lowell.
Well, that's unfortunate, Sam. Those two gentlemen, Kay Christofferson, who really is a fine gentleman, although I think he did vote for the con, and so he will respond to you now that the session is over. I texted him several times during the session, got a response, and so I can give you contact information. You can get a hold of these two and make friends with them. And the upcoming, you know, for the rest of the year, politically dead portion of the year is summertime, of course, and that's the best time to get to know them. And I encourage you to do that and everybody to do that. We need to know, in other words, if you're an activist like Sam and me, folks, your legislator needs to know you on site. They should be able to, when they see you on site at the grocery store or on the street, they should know your name. That's how well you should know them and introduce yourself, spend some time with them, whatever it takes, but that's how well they should know you so that when you send them a text or when you send them an email, they will read it because they know you're a political force in their community and constituency.
And the point is, just because Sam and Kurt aren't doing the best on the local level in some ways, you know, we do our best, and the problem is the waterfront's hard to cover, and that's why it takes us all, folks. You know what, if all our listeners were to get engaged and know all their congressmen and senators, and, you know, we could all work a little harder, do a little bit more is the point. And, hey, even Kurt's not perfect at it, ladies and gentlemen. You know, I mean, he works hard, but it takes a lot of work from all of us to be involved at all levels, and that's what we need to really do. All right, Utah Republican. Go ahead, sir.
The great thing about you and Kurt, though, I mean, is that you have this radio show. You have a platform to talk and share information with the whole world, basically. And that's, you're doing a service for liberty. You're involved in the sacred cause of liberty in a way that most people are not. I mean, it's incredible, the reach. And
by nature, it forces us on the national level just by the discussions of what our show is. So it's true. And like I say, we just can't cover everything. I'd love to be up on everything and appear at everything. I'd love to go to the Lincoln dinner with Prager, and I'd love to be at the legislative session. But how do I do that and be on the radio? You know, how do I do that and support my family? And there's only so much time and effort we have. Now, if we had plenty of money, we might be able to do more of it. But, hey, even if I go out of town to cover a political event, I'm losing money, not at work for my family. And so it's a tough balance that we got to kind of work on. But you guys went to a Utah Republican Party Central Committee event, and I guess what you guys have to do, shut down your speaker or your chair?
Yeah, we censored the chair. This is interesting and hopefully interesting to your audience, Sam, because they have parties in their states as well. I mean, almost every party, not all of them, but almost every party has suffers from some sort of corruption or abuse or whatever. And I was so encouraged that the state party here in this state took some action against the party chair for some violations of our bylaws, our constitution and bylaws. Not every party has the guts to do that. They just go along with their leader of the party, and they're meek, they're silent.
Good, but what does the censure mean? 200 lashes with a wet noodle in public or what?
Well, it's a public shaming, Sam. And you and I both know that politicians, I'm not talking about statesmen, but politicians, that's one of the most painful things you can do is to shame them in public. If a bad news article is run on a sitting legislator, they just fume at that. They just hurts them. It kills them inside because they like to be popular. That's the nature of a politician, is to be popular with everybody, to be well-liked. And when they have a piece of news media that comes out bad press about them, they hate that. It just kills them. And
that's why I can't run for office and be a politician. I don't want to be well-liked. I want to be the guy that holds up the truth and stands by it and says, hey, this is the ideal standard now. Y'all, let's work on it. I want to be that guy.
Yeah, you're right, Sam. Me too. So really, there's no teeth in censure. The reading does no material damage to a person. But in terms of publicity, it does a lot of damage. And this chair of the current party, probably either he'll choose not to run for re-election, or the delegates who hear about and receive a copy of this report, these recommendations and these censures, they will...
It's kind of like being impeached with no action taken.
Yeah, exactly. And so the delegates probably, they'll look at that and they'll say, oh, man, I can't support this guy. And so, we'd love to elect somebody new. So that's the bottom line there. I think censure has no teeth, but it's bad PR, and it does have an effect in the political community.
And it's better than nothing, because at least it does its best to say, listen, we're on the watch for corruption, and when you do it, we're going to expose you. It does do that.
Yeah, and for that, that's the reason I mentioned it, Sam, is that somebody stood up, they took some action. And it was long. It should have been taken a long time ago, but wasn't. But finally was taken. I'm glad it happened. And you can do the same in your state. And whatever party you're affiliated with, you can make sure that you stand for truth and righteousness. And you take action against corruption and abuse also in your party, in your state. That's the message. Thank
and you. I'm not really for the whipping plan. I was kind of teasing, but making a point that, you know what, we need to make these repercussions greater and create greater accountability is the point. I'm not really proposing whipping to do so. That was a little bit of a joke. Don't get all crazy that I'm proposing violence. I'm just kind of saying we need to have more accountability than what a current censure is. At the same time, at least it does something. It doesn't let it completely go unnoticed. All right, last week in Congress, Lowell.
The Senate took two important votes last week. One was a resolution overturning President Trump's declaration of an emergency at the border. We talked about this last week, about, the president's executive power to declare an emergency. And the fact that we are currently under 31 declarations of emergency today. These declarations that have been happening for decades, and we're currently under 31 declarations right now. And we basically talked about the unconstitutionality of it. And now most of the people who voted against the president on this. We're not doing so for constitutional reasons, but for political reasons. But I am happy to say that they voted 59-41, and there was Rand Paul, Mike Lee, Mitt Romney all voted to overturn the president's declaration of emergency. So that was probably a good thing.
It's a great thing, by the way. And really quick, I don't agree with the declaration of an emergency congressional style, as if either of them have authority to create this, quote, plan of you know, sharing power or giving away power or, you know, violating the separation of powers. I have a problem with all that. I agree with Rand Paul, Mike Lee, even Mitt Romney on that. However, there's nothing wrong with the president saying we got a crisis here going on. I'm going to call it an emergency, and I'm going to take action to stop it until Congress has time to get their act together and help me do the right thing here. Those are different discussions, and we need to be very clear that just because we don't believe in the framework of a national emergency, it's unconstitutional and merges the separation of powers, which is very dangerous. It doesn't change the fact that the president can take action when he warrants it for a crisis or an emergency or whatever word you call it. It's a temporary thing, though, to take action now when there's an emergency of some kind, but then to give Congress the chance to take over and put proper funding and proper guidance in place to handle these situations. That's the part that's missing.
Good point. You're right. If we had the Huns at the border and they're beating down the border and they're killing women and children and so forth as they invade the country, we'd be glad. But to have the president declare a national emergency and mobilize troops, you know, to stop that, right? I mean,
but be careful with the words. He could declare a crisis or an emergency, but it wouldn't be a national discussion of an emergency like you're saying, because when you fall into those words, you instantly invoke Congress and these definitions that they've unconstitutionally taken authority for. Okay, that's where the rub is.
Yeah.
The rub isn't in the president could say, I'm sending troops. We got a crisis down here and Congress get your act together, but I'm temporarily doing this to protect us in the meantime. That's appropriate. This other idea where Congress gives president greater authority is a violation of law.
Exactly right. That's the Military Powers Act that Congress passed. They have no right to do that. Right?
That's the whole point. And that's why I say, you know what? The president has the right to talk about a crisis and say, we got a problem. I got to do something. I got to do something right now. He has authority to do that. What we do when we manipulate these discussions into those words is we deny him that authority and supposedly grant him authority given to him that was never granted to the other branch in the first place. So it's disaster in terms of its underpinnings, and it gets people very, very, very confused. All right, the war against Venezuela.
Is ongoing, Sam. The United States is sabotaging Venezuela. They've been imposing sanctions now for months and months. They've been hurting people there in Venezuela, women, children, hospitals, and so forth. And the most recent sabotage has been the sabotage of their electrical grid, their electricity grid power. They knocked out hackers basically knocked out the power to 80% of the 31 million people who live in Venezuela. And this is a war, Sam. We are committing acts of war against Venezuela. Now, we talked about this 2 weeks ago, why we're doing it. The U.S. needs to prop up the hegemonic, we are being, you know, American hegemony around the world. We got to prop up the dollar, make sure the oil is sold in dollars, and otherwise the dollar is going to go down in flames. And so we explained 2 weeks ago why we're doing it, but it's wrong. I don't care why we're doing it. It's wrong for us to be committing acts of war against the country of Venezuela. And yet we're doing it. We have imposed sanctions, and the most recent thing this past week was the sabotage of their electrical grid. And Marco Rubio is chortling about this. He's tweeting about it. He knew about it before even the officials in Venezuela, Sam.
So the question is, who actually did it? Was it the Russians? I think not.
No.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's the problem, is why are we meddling in the affairs of foreign nations? As the Founding Fathers said, we need to avoid these foreign entanglements like the plague, and that's where it starts. But until we have honest money, that's not possible, folks. They'll never do it because they've got to prop up their fiat, folks. That's the bottom line on this thing. It's scary. All right, Lowell, thank you so much, sir. Godspeed.
Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you so much. We're welcome.
Lowell Nelson doing an incredible job, and I might add Scott Bradley's coming up next. Sam Curtin, Scott in seconds. We declare we the people, along with the grace of the Almighty, we can and will restore our grand old republic. Will you help us? We declare this nation shall endure. LibertyRoundtable.com. God save the Republic of the United States of America.